In 1995, Lena Palson and her daughters were doing some Christmas baking. Not wanting to get her ring filled with dough, Lena took her ring off and placed it on the counter to carry on her work. When her work was finished, she looked around and the ring was gone. The family looked everywhere for her ring. They even took up the tiling off the floor during renovations to look for the ring, but to no avail. Her ring was gone. Years went by, and while the search for the ring had long since ended, the memory had not. It wasn't until 16 years later, when Lena was pulling up carrots in her garden, that she noticed one of the carrots had a gold band around it. To her utter amazement and joy, it was her long-lost ring. The couple believes that the ring fell off the counter into the sink, and it was picked up with a lot of other vegetable peelings and been put into the compost, where it was either made compost or fed to the sheep, and eventually found its way into the garden. A remarkable story, but it's not the only one like it. There's a similar story about an 82-year-old man in Germany who found his ring also growing in a carrot after it's been lost for 3 years. The moral of the story is, if you lose a ring, plant carrots. It's no fun losing something that you cherish. It's an awful feeling, actually. Imagine your most cherished possession gone. How would you feel? Or put another way, what is there in your life that if you had lost it, you would not stop looking for it until you found it? In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells the story of a woman who had lost a coin. Luke chapter 15, verses 8 and 10. This is what Jesus says. He says, "Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way," Jesus says, "I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Now, the first thing you might be thinking when you hear this story is, it's only a coin. What's the big deal? One coin. We toss them around all the time. But in those days and in that culture, a woman often received coins, silver coins, for her dowry. And it wasn't unusual for a young lady to marry an older man. And so oftentimes, a woman became a widow at a fairly young age. Now imagine this woman with no means of support, and she just lost 10% of her life savings. We're not talking about just a penny or a nickel here. Think of this as her life insurance policy. It just took a severe hit. And with her husband dead, there's nothing more coming in to replace it. And so she's going to be very motivated to find that coin. She will sweep every corner. She's going to turn over every rug. She's going to turn her lights on. She's going to pick up everything and check underneath it. She's not going to stop until that coin is returned to her. And when she finds it, there's rejoicing. their celebration. It's a party time. Well, the meaning of the story is quite straightforward. It's this, that you are precious to your Heavenly Father. That's the bottom line here. You are precious to your Heavenly Father. What a wonderful bottom line. Think about it for a minute. And the reason why you are so precious to God is because you've been created in His image. Back in the book of Genesis, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, we see God doing a whole lot of creating. He's a busy guy. He created the light and dark, heavens and the earth on the first day. Then He created the sky on the second day, land and plants, then stars, moon, and sun. He created the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. And then on the sixth day, He created the animals on the land. And in every one of these cases, God simply spoke something into existence, didn't He? Scripture says, God said, let there be, and there it was. God said, let there be, and there it was. He didn't do anything other than speak it. God said, let there be. And there it was. But before the sixth day was over, God not only said, let us make man in our image, but He also did something. He didn't just speak it. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. My friends, if anyone tells you, you know, you're no different than an animal, they're totally wrong. It is completely different. Number one, God was personally involved in creating man. He used His hands to form man, to shape him out of the dust in the ground. Imagine that. God, who spoke everything else into existence, but for some reason, He wanted to get His hands dirty. He wanted to be in on the action. He didn't want just the molecules or whatever to come together. He wanted to fix it a certain way. Personally involved. Everything else, God just said, fish, boop, sky, there it is. Water, there it is. But for man, He got in. And then, He breathed into him the breath of life. I've mentioned that verse before, and to me it's just so, so incredibly meaningful that God breathed life into man. His own breath filling us. Hard to think about it, what that means. And of course, He created man and breathed into him the breath of life, but He created man in His own image. And so, there's something special. You are His workmanship. Now, we know what happens next in the story in Genesis, and it's not a pretty picture. Sly, sneaky serpent comes into the picture, and before Adam and Eve get to go off on their honeymoon, they've fallen into sin. So much for reflecting the holy character of God. And the truth of the matter is, we have become a poor reflection of a holy God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 puts it bluntly, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Quite plain. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. We're lying to ourselves and the truth is not in us. We know that. We know that we're messed up. We know that at best, at our very, 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 very best, we are still a poor, poor reflection of the image of God. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that you're a pretty decent group of people, decent human beings. You've probably kept yourself out of trouble most of the time. You're probably a law-abiding citizen, kept your nose clean, care about those around you. We know how to look good. We know how to look good on the outside. But the reality is, we also know that deep down, the ugliness of sin within us. And it's not pretty. We know the thoughts that go through our mind, the struggles that we endure and sometimes embrace even. We know the times that we have outright failed and fallen flat. And we wonder, could a God who is holy and just love someone like me? And the answer is a resounding yes. Absolutely. No matter what mess you've been through or are in. If anything, the story of the lost coin teaches us that you are precious to God. Remember in the story of the prodigal son, which comes right after this story, incidentally, I don't think that the son came back to the father smelling all nice and looking polished. He couldn't have. He just traveled, number one, a long distance, and number two, he traveled from where? He was basically living in a pig pen. Literally. He couldn't have been very sweet. He was a mess. And we come to the Father in a mess. Sometimes we've had years of experience in it. Sometimes we have layers upon layers. And it's not a pretty picture. There could be a lot of filth still clinging on. But think of it this way. Let's go back to the story of the rings that were found, of all places, in the carrots. What do you suppose the owners did when they found that ring? Now remember, these rings were in the dirt. They were probably nothing like they had originally been. They had been in the mud for years, probably even mixed in with the manure. Pretty gross. And I wonder, did the owner say, "Oh, this ring is filthy. It's gross. It's disgusting. It's nothing like what it was when I first got it. I don't want it." Did he throw it back because it had lost its luster? Not a chance. They cherished the ring. No matter how dirty the rings got, no matter how long they had been sitting in the dirt or where they'd been, here's the point. They didn't lose their value to the owner. Think about that. They didn't lose their value to the owner. the coin that Jesus spoke about, no matter where it had gone off to, it was still precious to the owner. And I don't know about where you've been. You could have been through a mess. You might still be in a mess. But that doesn't decrease your value to the Heavenly Father. He loves you just the same. We get the idea that we got to fix everything up before we can come to the Father. Good luck on that one. Doesn't work that way. And when the woman found her lost coin, she threw a party. And the conclusion Jesus draws, more rejoicing in heaven over what? Over one sinner who repents. Bottom line is that God cherishes you. You are precious to him. His desire is to restore you to that beautiful reflection of him. That's how he created you, to reflect his holiness, his image. Imagine if you found your long-lost precious ring covered in dirt. You would be happy to have it back, regardless of its condition. But you wouldn't leave it in that condition, now would you? If you found your ring that had been through the dirt and the mud and maybe the cow droppings and everything else, I imagine one of the first things you would do after finding your ring, you would have washed it with great care and a strainer in the sink plug. You'd have washed it with gentleness. You would clean the dirt that had been caked on it. Maybe even take it in and have it polished so that it would shine again. Are you seeing what God wants to do in your life? It's not the condition that we come to him in that is relevant. He will gladly take us as we are. He will gladly take you as you are, because no matter what condition you are in, you have not lost any value to him. Unfortunately, in our fallen world, we don't always treat people that way. Regrettably and wrongly, we treat some people more valuable than others. And that's not right. We got to be careful about that. No matter what condition you are in, you have not lost any value to him. However, he's not content to leave you in that condition. He wants you to shine. He wants you to be a reflection of him. He wants to restore his image within you. That's something special that you and I have. I love the animals that God has created, but they don't have the same privileges that we do. Whales, as an example, are beautiful creatures. There's people who pay good money to go whale watching. That's great. But whales don't carry the image of God. Dogs are loyal creatures. Nothing like cats, that's another story. Dogs are loyal creatures. Wonderful creatures. They play with you, they're a companion. They're even a great support. But they don't bear the image of God. You do. You are made in the image of God, and underneath all the baggage that you may or may not be carrying, all the sin, all the shame, all the regret, there is something incredibly precious within you, and God seeks to bring that out and make you shine, to restore the brilliance of His glory and image within you. I don't know, that blows my mind. Perhaps the reflection isn't all that clear at the moment. It usually isn't when we've been through the mud and the mire. Your part, my part, is to surrender ourselves to Him and to His work. God wants to do it. God will do it, but we need to surrender ourselves to Him, to His hands, to do that work. The psalmist, Psalm David, you remember, he was desperate for that, right? Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Cleanse me. He was desperate, Psalm 51, crying out to God to wash him, to do that work within him. He knew that there was some serious work to be done, and he was pleading with God to do it. And I'm not sure where you fit into this whole picture today, but I just want to encourage you and say to you, if you are struggling with God shining in or through your life, it's not going to happen until you come to Him. He seeks you, He wants you, He loves you. You are precious to Him no matter what condition you are in. But when you come to Him, He's not going to just leave you like that and say, great, I'm glad you're here. He's going to work in your life. He's going to take away layer upon layer of whatever it is that's been caked on over the years, and He's going to make you shine. And I want to encourage you this morning that if God is wanting to do a work in your life, if there is something in your life that you know God is wanting to take off because it just isn't part of the a reflection of the glory of His image. And sometimes we don't, I'm not sure, God, that's something I'm not sure I want to part with. And so we don't reflect God in the way that He would like us to. And His work in us comes to a stall. Our part is to surrender ourselves to His work. And really, I don't know what that means in your life. I really don't. I'm certainly not poking any fingers at anybody other than maybe myself. But if there is some area, some work that God is wanting to do and peel back, or maybe you're at the place where you haven't even come to Him and you're like, I am lost. And you need to understand that you are precious to Him. He wants you and He will work in you. I just want to encourage you to let God work in your life what is good and pleasing to Him. You will not regret it. It's the only way to really grow and to be that reflection that God wants you to be of Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to come before You this morning. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that You are particularly speaking to about something in their life that maybe has been a poor reflection of You, or maybe they've just been resistant to some work that You are wanting to do in their life, I pray, Father God, that You would just be with them and give them the courage to surrender that to You and say, Lord, come and take me. Take all of me. Take every part of my life, my heart, my desires, my dreams. Lord, they belong to You. I give them to You and allow God to work in you. And Father God, if there's somebody here who is not even at that place yet, maybe they're just wandering around and not knowing where to turn and I pray, Father God, that they too would come and sense that your desire and longing is for them, to receive them, to make them your children. And so, Father God, we just pray that you would do your work, continue your work in us as we yield ourselves to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.